Everyone that's gathered here today, good morning to y'all. If you needed a weather report, there's a 100% chance of rain today, all the way from Galliano, Louisiana to Ruth, Mississippi. It has rained. You know, we need rain every once in a while. And I pray this morning that we would have a shower of blessing. And we know the only way we're going to have that is if the Lord provides it. Just with the natural rain, the spiritual rain is only provided by Him. And if I'm going to do anything or say anything to speak to my Father's little children this morning, it's going to be because He's given me something to say. I was reading in Proverbs this week, and I came across this proverb. In chapter 18, Proverbs, in verse 19, it says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Now, I want to focus on that word offended just for a minute. You know, it seems a great deal. The peace of God's children is on assault. There's so many things in this world that rob you, if we let it, of our peace. A lot of God's children and a lot of people in this life right now seem we spend so much time on being offended or offending or what offenses. But brother, I want you to know there's some things that we can do to help from being offended and from offending. Especially when we think about our brother. This verse says a brother. That's who we're addressing, our brother. A brother offended. It's harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. When a brother gets offended, they go on, you see these terms here, the imagery. They go on the defense, a castle, the walls go up. So when I look at this, the best thing we can do, it's going to be hard to win a brother back once he's offended, but the best thing we can do is not to offend our brother. Now, as a brother that's offended and a brother that's offending, we need to be aware of what we're being offended by and what we're offending with. You know, if I'm preaching the word of the gospel and that offends you, well, brother, I'm just sorry. I'm not scared to offend somebody with the word, with the words of Jesus. I'm not offended by that, and you ought not be either. What God has spoken, we ought to take great care. And when our brother comes to us and talks to us about these things, and he comes to us in love, we ought not be offended by the gospel. You know, John the Baptist, I believe, over in Matthew 11, he sent his disciples and said, "Lord Jesus, are you the Christ or do we seek another?" And Jesus said, "Go tell John these things, that the lepers are healed, the blind see, the deaf hear." And then he goes on to say, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." Child of God, we ought not be offended in the Lord Jesus Christ. But brethren, as we walk in this life, I want you to know there's some things we ought not be offended by. We ought not let us offend us. If you will, turn with me to Matthew, and we're going to go to chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, we're going to find that these old scribes and Pharisees have came before Jesus. In chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" We need to be careful about our traditions. Now, what's offending you? Is it the tradition of man offending you, or is it the tradition of God offending you? The tradition of man shouldn't offend us, but we should be offended when we transgress the traditions of God. It says, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest profited by me. See, these old Pharisees, they were offended that the Lord's disciples didn't wash their hands. But they were perfectly okay with them saying that when they had to honor their mother and father, when their mother and father came to them and needed help, they were perfectly okay with saying, oh, the gift that I could give you. In another verse in Mark, they call it Corban. They use the excuse that this gift, that the things they could give their mother and father to help them, they were devoted to a different, separate obligation, that they couldn't give it to them, or if it was obligated to God, that they wouldn't help their mother and father. But the Word of God says, honor thy mother and their father. But by their traditions, they transgress the tradition of God, the law of God. We don't need to let our traditions be traditions of men. We need to follow the law of God. But these men were perfectly fine. They were perfectly offended. They were offended by these traditions of their elders. But they were perfectly happy to let these transgress the law of God. You know, the world ain't changed that much. They were offended by washing their hands. But it was all right if their brother treated their mom and daddy like, you know what? You know, there's people out there right now that I've read about. They want to shoot you. They say, I'll shoot you for not wearing a face mask right now. Now, I don't find the mask offensive. I'm not getting at that this morning. But they say they're perfectly capable, perfectly fine to shoot you for wearing a face mask. These same people are perfectly okay with millions of babies being aborted every day, being thrown away. My wife was telling me this week, there was a group of nuns that came to her church, and they're from Vietnam. And their whole sole purpose is to raise money to bury all the little aborted babies that government over there allows to happen. See, in Vietnam, you can only have two babies. You have another baby, and you have a government job. You lose that job if you have another one. So many babies are aborted by the law of man. I want you to know the law of God says different. Over in Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 6, in verse 17 and 18, it says there's six, yea, seven things that God hates, and yea, seven are abominable. One of them is the shedding of innocent blood. I want you to know the law of God says abortion is wrong. It's wrong, but we let the traditions of men in this country say otherwise. Yeah, we can be offended by a face mask, but we let all these little babies die. You know, I find it so ironic that that country in Vietnam, this very government that allows that to happen, men like my Uncle Russell went over there and fought against that very government, and then they came back from this country and were spit on and called baby killers, and they're the baby killers. Yeah, we need to be careful about what traditions we follow. Are our traditions of men or are they of God? Are we following the laws of men or are we following the laws of God? What are we fighting against? What are we offended by? I'm not offended in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I tell you what, I'm offended by those that transgress the law of God. That offends me. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say something else in this verse. He talks about these folks like this. In verse 7, it says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. Not wearing a face mask, not washing your hands. Those things don't defile a man. But what's in the heart? What's in the heart defileth a man? Then came his disciples and said unto them, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? His disciples seemed to be a little worried that these Pharisees were offended by what Jesus was telling them. Are you offended by what your preachers are telling? We've been blessed with preachers that speak the truth. We need not be offended by the truth. But what did Jesus say? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They'd be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Lord Jesus Christ is saying, don't let these people, don't let people like that rob you of your joy. Don't let people like that rob you of peace. I know the things that they speak are offensive. But I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ is here. They're going to have theirs. They're going to wind up in the ditch. That's the blind leading the blind. And one way or another, they're going to fall into the ditch to the left or to the right. Don't spend too much time being offended by this old world and what it has to say against your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know it's offensive. But don't let that rob you of your peace. Turn that old social media off every once in a while. Turn that news off. Spend some time in this Word. This is where you're going to find your peace. All that old stuff, all those traditions of men, that's going to rob you of the peace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not considered in bringing peace into this world. Are you surprised that the world hates the Lord Jesus Christ? You ought not be. He said, the world hateth you because it first hateth me. Not going to find peace out in this old world, but we're going to find peace here. But don't let that old world rob you of the peace that we have. Don't be so offended by this old world and what it has to say that it robs you of the peace that we have. Don't waste too much time on these folks. The Lord Jesus Christ says, let them alone. Let them alone. They'll have their day. Child of God, don't worry about them. So then what should we be worried about? I tell you what I'm worried about. Back to my proverb, I'm worried about my brother. I'm worried about my sister. I'm worried about my brethren and sisters in Christ. I'm worried about the kingdom of God. I'm worried about how we're acting to one another. How the church is responding to be offended. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a good chapter to tell us how we ought to be treating one another, how we're supposed to be within this church, within this kingdom of God. This is where our concern needs to lie. If you will, turn with me to verse 18. Now, I told you before, the best way to keep a brother is not to offend him in the first place. Lord Jesus Christ tells us how to do that. In chapter 18, it says, the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, as I thought about this, you know what one of the quickest ways to offend somebody is? Or how somebody could be offended really quick? Oh, that old brother thinks he's better than me. He thinks he's greater than me. You know, in another verse in Mark, the same account of this story, it says that they never spoke and told Jesus what they were talking about on the way to see him. And Jesus knew. And Jesus said, what were you talking about on the way over in Mark? It talks about that. They didn't have to tell Jesus what they were disputing about. It said they were disputing. It says, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When we come through those doors of this church, of his kingdom, that's how we're supposed to come, as little children. You know, I think about some of the sweetest times and memories I have coming into this church. I was a child. You know, when I was a child, I thought everybody loved everybody. And for the most part, I know that's true in this church. But I thought everybody always got along. I thought everything was always all right in the house of God. When I came to church, I knew I was going to get to sing some songs of Zion. I love to sing. I knew I was going to get to see my brothers and sisters. People I loved. I knew I was going to get to eat and fellowship. I knew I was going to get to go back here and play football with my cousins. It never occurred to me that there was ever any trouble, ever any offense in the church. I was just coming because I love the people here. I love the experience that I have here. I didn't expect anything from anybody else. I was just happy. We got to be together. We got to serve the Lord. Oh, if we could just come as little children into the house of God. But this means to be humble. We should come humble. Nobody's better than anybody else. We all God's children. We all have gifts and talents according to what God has given us. We all ought to put those gifts to use. But it says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little children, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that's how we ought to come in to the church. If we come with that mind and that spirit, I tell you what, it's really hard to offend our brother. It's really hard to offend our brother. In verse 5 it says, and who shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. When we embrace our brother as little children, I want you to know that we're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like we're receiving Him. Verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Lord Jesus Christ gives us some warnings. Not only should we be humble and come in, but that's why we should. Lord Jesus Christ loves his little children so much, he don't want them to be offended. We ought not offend them. When we talk to our brothers, just like we're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're supposed to reserve the same humility and the same respect that we would for him, for his little children. If you'll do that, it's hard to offend your brother or your sister. But then it says, woe. It's another warning. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Whoa. Whoa now. That's a warning here. What is this verse saying? It says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. We live in an imperfect world. There's no perfect church. Offenses are going to come. Things are going to happen. We're to expect it. But it says, woe. Woe. But woe to the man by whom offense cometh. I tell you what, I don't want to be the one that the offense comes by. You don't want to be the one that offense comes by. It says it's better for a millstone to be hung around our neck and cast in the sea than to offend one of these little ones. We need to come humble. We need to come as a little child. We need to come with the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for those children. If you do those things, you'll have peace. Now, woe to the man that come. Now, here comes the warning. Now, see how we're supposed to come to the church. But it says there will be offenses. We need to be ready for how to handle those offenses. You know, I find in this book that offenses, the Greek word, offenses means stumbling block. Stumbling block is something that prevents us from going where we need to go. Stumbling block offenses, I want you to know it's a stumbling block to peace. Is what these offenses are. It's offenses. It's stumbling blocks. It's things that prevent us from having peace in the church. We need to prepare to cut those things out when it happens. This is not a joyous occasion. It says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. You know, if you go back and look in Corinthians, it talks about the body of Christ. We're talking about the church. The body has many members. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. But it says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee. You know, those are pretty important members. It doesn't matter what member it is. It doesn't matter what a member. It doesn't matter if it's the preacher. It doesn't matter if it's a deacon. It could be whatever member. Those that offend, it says, cut them off. That's what it says. And these words are in red. This is not Joe Myers' words. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's words. It says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Now, Brother Joe, what's that everlasting fire talking about? And I talked to Brother James about this week, and me and him were in agreement on it. Now, if you take that and mean that mean that we're going to be cast into hell, then you just cast the church of God into hell. That don't make much sense. But what is everlasting fire? What is fire? You ever been burned? I've been burned a lot. My profession, I get burned a lot. I tell you what, it hurts. It hurts. It's torment for a long time. And as long as you hold your hand over that fire, it'll continue to burn. It'll continue to be in torment. And as long as those members that offend are in the church, that's just what the case of the church will be. It'll be in everlasting torment. Now, that's no small thing. That's not something that you would do with haste, is cut off a foot or a hand, would it? Tell you what, I'd try every other thing before I had to cut that off. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us that too. In verse 10, it says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Sometimes we've got some members that go astray. But do you see how precious they are to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus Christ, it says the good shepherd leaves the 99 just, the 99 that didn't go astray, the 99 that didn't stumble, the 99 that didn't fall, and he goes after them. He goes look for them wherever they're at. He makes an effort to bring them back into the fold because they're precious to him. I want you to know, I don't know any member that's ever been excluded from Union Church that wasn't precious to us. And it was with great sorrow and great pain that they were cut off from this fold. But we're supposed to. But before we do that, it says we try hard. We try hard. We go after them. We seek after them. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, I know eternally none of my Father's little children will perish. But I tell you what, the wages of sin is death. When we stumble, when we go astray, and we leave the commandments of God and transgress against His law, I want you to know there's death out there waiting for the child of God. It might not be physical death. It could be. It could be spiritual death. You could get so cold and hard that you can't even tell that that child was ever a child of God. It's very hard to tell the difference between a disobedient child of God and a child of the devil, because they're doing the same things. But I want you to know the Father knows. Even so is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Now here's the lesson. Here's what we should do. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. We're supposed to go to our brother first. If you've been offended by your brother, if you've offended your brother, if you've been offended by your brother, you're supposed to go tell him. Doesn't say go tell the preacher. Doesn't say go tell deacon and the deacon. Doesn't go tell everybody else first. It says go to your brother first, the one that offended. Go to him first. Go to your brother. Tell him. And then if y'all can work it out yourself, you know what you've done? You've spared the church. You spared the church conflict. You spared the church being out of peace and discord. You know, over in that verse that I mentioned that they hate the shedding of blood, over in Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 17, 18, the other thing that says God hates is those that sow discord among the brethren. You don't want to be that brother. We want to prevent discord. It says, moreover, thy brother shall trespass, and go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall bear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth or two or three witnesses every word may be established. If you can't get through to your brother, then you come back to the church. Take some brothers with you. Let's go talk to them again, some sisters. Go talk to them again. Let's try to bring them back together. See if we can't find some peace, some resolution. But if he will not hear thee, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Then it comes before the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now that's the hard part. But do you understand the process? When we've offended, when we've been offended, we're not just supposed to be offended, cut them off. We're supposed to do everything in our power to bring that brother, that sister back into the fold of God, to have some peace, some resolution, some reconciliation. But at some point, the Lord Jesus Christ says there's a time to cut that member off for the good of the church, so the church doesn't stand in everlasting torment, everlasting fire. Those are hard truths, but they're true. But this is an example of how we keep peace in this church. This is where we ought to be wanting to come peace. Because you know why we want to have peace here? Because this is the only place we're going to find peace in this earth. This is the only place we're going to find that we need to guard against the devil in this church. I'm not worried about out there. I'm not worried about them folks that don't know God. Lord Jesus Christ has let them alone. We need to be worried about the kingdom. We need to be standing here, feeling our duty, loving one another, exhorting one another, edifying one another, keeping that old world out of here. We need to be defending against the ways of the devil and Satan, because he's ever working. We need to be working just as hard as the devil does to keep peace. That's what we want. We want peace in the church. I commend this church. We've always done a pretty good job of keeping peace here. It hasn't always been easy. It always hurts sometimes. Brethren, I pray for a day that our brothers and sisters that have gone away, and I'm not saying that because I think that I'm any better than they are. I'm well aware of what's out there and what can draw you away. I'm well aware of the hindrances and the stumbling blocks that can get in your way. And it's hard. We need to pray God's mercy on our brethren. And I hope and my prayer is that one day they're feeling a pew again. I want them back. Only God can do that for us. Only God can turn the heart. But you know what we can do? We can pray for peace. We can pray for peace in our church. We can pray for peace in our personal lives. Because you pray to the God of peace. That's who we're here serving. Now, brethren, there's some things. Oh, I've gone too long, Brother James. Well, brethren, I'll close right there. And I'll say this. I love y'all. Y'all have been good to me. Y'all have been more than patient. And I hope that what I've said today brings you some peace, brings you some direction. Let's remember, let's leave those things of the world alone. Don't let those things rob you of your peace that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's defend against those things that would cause disruption and discord in our church. Let's keep the peace here so when we come here, we can find the peace. We can be at peace. But we're not going to find it out there. I thank you for your good oral attention.